each and every one this evening. We do give you a very warm welcome to Mega Ministry Fellowship this evening. I pray that God will bless you. And we really appreciate the children singing, as that's Brother Gary and Sister Ruth's the family. We really appreciate it. It's wonderful singing, and we thank the Lord for it. And we had a wonderful service this morning, and Brother Gary brought the Word of God, presenting Jesus. And if you get a chance, go on our webpage and listen to this morning's message. It'll be up probably sometime this week. And we just thank the Lord for the Word of God. I want this evening to continue on part two of knowing the power of God today. And I think I did share this message some time back, but I really felt led to share it. And it's a really dangerous surgery. Those of you that know Mark, that Mark has a tremendous testimony. He had cancer, he's come through a lot. He's a preacher over here in Northern Ireland. And I've never personally met Mark, but I know of him online. And there's people in our fellowship that knows Mark, that's friendly with Mark. And the Lord's really touched Mark, and Mark has asked this morning online to pray for this young man, Ben Stevenson. And right at the very start of our service tonight, I want to bring Ben before the Lord in prayer, and also others that's had COVID. And you know, I believe COVID is there, but I want to say this evening, the power of God is real, and I strongly believe that Jesus Christ is a healer. He's not just a savior, but I believe that there is healing in the atonement. By his stripes, wounds, we are healed. I want to pray for you this evening at the start if you need prayer, and also for this little boy, Ben Stevenson, that everything's going to be all right, whatever medically they have to do. We appreciate doctors, nurses. I pray for them weekly. But I believe ultimately that God is our healer. And we want to pray. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need tonight, just give me a sign or write up quickly and I'll see it. And we'll pray for you this evening. I know some people have maybe haven't been at church because of COVID. And we know there's different rules and different things, and that's all right. But God can touch you, and God can touch your children and your family and whoever is near and dear to you. The Lord is able to do it. Bow your heads with me tonight while we ask for the Lord's blessing. I want to remember Matthew here, his whole family, in prayer this evening, that God will come into that very home with his power. You believe with me, one will put 1,000 to flight, two the tens of thousands. Father, we bow before thy throne of grace, for we may find help and mercy in the time of need. Lord, we come in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for that name that is far above every other name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for this wee boy, Ben Stevenson. Lord, I lift him before your throne this evening. I'm asking you for your touch upon his wee body, that everything's going to be all right. Father, that you'll heal him and deliver him and raise him up to testify to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Give his parents grace. Give them courage. Let your hand of mercy and grace be upon them right now. In the name of the Lord, I pray. Touch Ben in Jesus Christ's precious name. Pray for Matthew's whole family that's requested here this evening. You know all their names. Father, I lift every one of them before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke COVID and the effects of COVID. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And I place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And I pray for your touch, for your mercy, for your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach thy hand forth this evening. Save, heal, and deliver in the name of the Lord. Father, if there's anyone tuned in tonight that's not saved, save them. Anyone that's sick, heal them. Anyone that needs filled with the Spirit, fill them. Anyone that's backslidden, restore them. For you are coming again. We see the signs of the times are everywhere. Help us with your word. I do take now the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. Praise God. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So first of all, this evening we can know the power of God today. We can know it. One of the most important things to knowing the power of God is the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. There is no Word of God void of power, but every single Word of God is inspired and is thus and thus saith the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so is the Word of God. Let me read you that again from my amplified version of the Bible. And here's what it said. For the Word of God is living, active, and full of power. The Word of God is living, it's active, and it's full of power. Remember John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we see the Word of God is living, it is active, and it is powerful, making operative, energizing, effective. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating as far as dividing the soul and spirit, the completeness of the person. And of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the thoughts and intents of our very hearts. So first of all, we see this evening the Word of God is powerful. Remember this, that God in the beginning said, let there be light. And there was light. God spake, and it came to pass into fruition. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of a man, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're actually saved, born again, the Word of God begins to work within you. The Bible said that He's working in us, changing us from glory to glory, like unto His own glorious self. So we see the Word of God is so powerful that the Word of God works within us. That's why we to salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is of Christ. The gospel's not of a church or an organization or a movement, but it is the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You're not saved because you look saved or act saved or feel saved. None of those emotions or things save you. They have nothing to do with it at all. The Bible is clear in the book of Ephesians. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But by grace, through faith, are you saved. By simply trusting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. And the gospel has the power of God in it unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God has made his ability available through his word to all who make the connection by faith. By faith, they saw the dead raised. By faith. Hebrews 11 especially is the faith chapter. And you're saved by faith. Romans 10:17. Then faith cometh by hearing the newspaper, the television. No, I'm sorry. The news we hear today on the broadcast, on the radios, televisions, I'm sorry, it's all bad news. And you can't believe the half of it, but you can believe the Word of God. The Word of God is sure, steadfast, unmovable. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Not some man's idea, but the Word of God has within it the power to produce something that can change, something that can transform. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the first thing we see about this divine PowerPoint is the Word of God. Then there's another thing we see about this divine PowerPoint. And there's many divine PowerPoints. I'm using just a few examples tonight. The name of Jesus. All the majesty of Christ's person. All the victory of his Calvary conquest and all the authority of his exalted position at the right hand of God are resident in his name. God's power is in the name of Jesus Christ, and it can be released by faith as the early Christians discovered and knew the power of that name. Acts 3:16 tells us, and in his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whole, complete, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And you know the story in the book of Acts, as Peter and John went up to pray at the hour of prayer, they met a man on the way. He was begging for alms, and they said unto him, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but a lot of the so-called large churches today can't say what they said. Silver and gold have we none. That I won't name the movement, but you've heard of the billions, such and such billions. And they have more money than ever, but they do not have the power of God. The early disciples had nothing, only what they had on them, but they knew the power and the presence of Almighty God, because they had a name that was far above every other name. Acts 4:10 tells it, be it known unto you all, and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole, complete. That's what it means. The man was healed and delivered by the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name like that name. the name of Jesus Christ, hearing it, does something for you. It's a name you can pray to the Father through. It is the only name you can be saved by. The Bible says there's no other name, no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved by any other name. I don't care what church, what organization, what lodge, what movement, they're dead, absolutely lifeless. But this name has power. And it is only through this name that you are saved. Neither is there salvation in any other name. This name is a PowerPoint. A PowerPoint to be saved. A PowerPoint to be delivered. A PowerPoint to be set free from drug addiction and any other addiction through the name of Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 23 to 24 tells us, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. John 16, 23. God wants you to ask him. He wants you to ask him. And he's given you the key to do it. And the key is the name of Jesus Christ. So his word is a PowerPoint. His name is a PowerPoint. But here's another very wonderful PowerPoint I want to look at this evening. And that is the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is also a PowerPoint. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. So the preaching of the cross is the power of God. People say, show me the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. God's master PowerPoint. That's what I'm calling it. God's master PowerPoint. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your note. God's master PowerPoint is Calvary. And millions of lives have been utterly transformed when they came in genuine repentance and simple childlike faith to the feet of the crucified Savior. There is a power that cleanses, power that forgives sin, power that reconciles to God, power that imparts new life, power in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not the cross, it's not the wooden cross itself, but it is the preaching of the cross. Because the cross represents, as we heard this morning, Christ being lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Those condemned are made righteous. The fallen are lifted. Those afar off are brought near to God at the cross of Christ. Rebels, drunkards, old types of sinners are transformed into God's children and made contributing members of society because of the power of the cross. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Here's another PowerPoint, the ability of the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget the ability of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is very real. Jesus told us in John 14, I am going away. I am going away. But I will send unto you another comforter in my name. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is here in the name of Jesus Christ. You can look at it like the great man of God said, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. All that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Why? through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Almighty God, that the work of God might continue. The ability of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. In Luke 24, verse 49, I send you the promise of the Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit brings the power of God with it. Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The early believers assembled themselves in the upper room in preparation for the endowment. They anticipated, and they weren't disappointed. They anticipated a movement. They anticipated a visitation of God. Are you anticipating a movement of God? A power breakthrough of God coming in your life? Are you anticipating it? Or are you just running about negative? Are you just one of those people that's always negative? Not many here. Nothing's happening. Everything's gloom and doom. I would rather be positive. These disciples were very positive. They anticipated and they were not disappointed. May the Lord help us today not to be negative, but to anticipate a moving of the Spirit of God like the original church that began at Pentecost. We know the inauguration of the church was Pentecost. Let me read you this wonderful quotation this evening from a message called The Palmer Worm, Locust, Cankerworm, and Caterpillar. Now the first thing, the church was established on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the inauguration sermon of the first service. When the church was born, the Christian church was born on that day of Pentecost. And if God is infinite, infinite and cannot change, his church must remain as it was at the beginning. You cannot admit that. Hallelujah. The church must ever remain the same as it always was. Hallelujah. Many people today do not want the Pentecostal experience or the power, but the first church began at Pentecost with the inauguration of the church. And the true church, and remember there's only one church. Yes, there's lots of movements, Baptist, Presbyterian, I'm saying nothing about them, but them's just names. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every true born-again Christian that is baptized by the one Spirit, according to Corinthians, into the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ is a member of the true church. Hallelujah. You can't join the true church. You're born into it. And God is no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. The book of Acts is the testimony of how the power of God was evidenced in their lives. They prayed effectively, witnessed boldly, lived differently, and brought about a release of the purpose and power of God into the lives of many other people. The book of Acts is really an unfinished book, and it is still being written by real Holy Ghost-filled believers who follow the example of the early brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember how this book starts out. Acts 1 verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. He began, but it's not finished. And it cannot be finished till the last name is on the book or brought in. Hallelujah. And we're looking to get the last one. And we're going to go in the catching up. Praise God. And tribulation's going to come in to this world such as it's never seen before. Here's another PowerPoint that I want to show you this evening. And this PowerPoint is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a man and a woman come into the relationship. And the Bible says when you become married, you are as one flesh. You become one. You're no more twain, two, but you become one. And we must come into the divine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we're one. One. He has to be the head. We must have his leadership. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. When the three pin plug of faith, listen now, when the three pin plug of faith is divinely connected with the power points and the switch of the vital union with Jesus Christ is in place and maintained, then an ongoing release of light and the power of God will be experienced. When you connect all the wires, all the three wires in your plug, and you put that lead into the power point and switch it on, you've got light. You have power going through that lead to run a machine, to do whatever you want to do. And God has given a law that if we do what he says, that power will come. An abiding union and fellowship with Christ is a contact which alone enables us to be channels of love, life, power, flow out to a needy world through real Christians. You see, the real spirit-filled believers receives the life of God. The Greek word is Zoe. Zoe is a Greek word. That Zoe life was made possible when the blood seal of Jesus Christ was broken on the cross of Calvary, and the life of Almighty God, that Zoe life was released to every true believer. When the first blood seal broke on the cross, the life of God, Jesus was a man, but yet he was God in flesh. He was indeed the God-man. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The life, the blood that was in Jesus was his Father's blood, supernatural blood, God's blood. And when that blood cell broke, the life of God was released. Here's what it says in Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. There were some in the book of Acts who sought to release God's power. They tried to imitate the power of God, but the power of God cannot be imitated. Can't be imitated. You cannot imitate the power of God. It just won't work. And you can read through Acts 19, verse 13 to 17, and you will see of those that withstood Paul. Let me read it. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also, dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon all them. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. You cannot work with a devil without the real Holy Ghost. I remember when I went to Zimbabwe, I remember on my second trip, Mishengo, we had a convention with about 1,400 people in attendance. We baptized 100 new converts after the convention. But one night after I preached, they called me outside, and an old woman, a very old woman, who was demon-possessed, manifested a powerful devil, and they could do nothing with her, but God delivered her. God set her free. Because when the Holy Spirit came on the scene, she was delivered, and the demons spoke out of her, and they said, I'm not coming out. And they had to come out. And God set her free. And you know, that old woman went back up into the mountain. She had her snuff pouch and everything with their church. And those brothers from Africa know that what I'm telling is absolutely the truth. You can check it with the different ministers over in Majengo. And Brother Mashandu and Naboth and different other brothers was there. And when she went back up to the mountains and the people saw the change on that woman, after she was delivered, because the Bible says the anointing breaks the yokes, that devil had to go. They went to visit her from the church, and when they arrived, all her neighbors came because they saw such a transformation upon this one woman that all the neighbors in that mountain place came, and the brothers preached to them the gospel, and many of them came to Jesus Christ as a Savior. And a work started right up there from one woman's deliverance. God did something. A fire was sparked, and a work began from the deliverance of one woman. Listen, Brandon, I'm not boasting. It's nothing to do with me. But I can write books on testimonies that I saw when I preached out in Africa and many other parts of the world, the things that God has done. I've seen many people saved by the grace of God. It's not hundreds, it's into the thousands when it's came to know Jesus Christ. I know people at home here, they maybe don't believe it. That doesn't bother me a bit. I've seen it, and I know it's real. And I never will forget that night. I was very tired. I preached a long service, and it must have been 12 o'clock into the night. They called me outside, and several men were not able to contain an old grandmother. She was so possessed with devils that she was able to throw grown men around the field. But when the Holy Spirit came, God delivered her. God delivered that woman, and she was set wonderfully free. I tell you, the same God that worked in Africa is alive tonight. He's never changed. He remains the same. Those who are abiding in union with him are now being called of God to cooperate with him in the climax of this last church age. As we stand on the threshold of some of the greatest events ever to befall humanity, and that's what's happening. And we know this day, this generation, right-thinking people, the only hope for any right-thinking person is the second coming of the Lord. We stand to benefit from all the accumulated dedication and the faith of past generations. And we must arise to demonstrate that our God, our Heavenly Father, is indeed almighty, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing of humanity. May the Lord grant it. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to encourage you to go forward. I want to encourage you tonight, never think that someone's too far for God. That woman was an old woman. I don't know her exact age, but she was a grandmother, a very old woman. And God delivered her. God set her free. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're an older person. God loves you. He loves you. He gave his son to die for you on the cross. He loved you so much. Not only did he give a son to die for you, but God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered the grave. Jesus is not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's risen. And he's closer than the very breath we breathe. Buddha is in a grave. Muhammad is in a grave. But Jesus Christ could not be holding up the grave, but he broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant over the foe, and he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That means all powerful, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. God loves you tonight. Do you want strength? He's your strength. Do you want joy? He's your joy. He is your joy. He is your strength. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. God changed this man you're listening till the night. There was nobody wilder than me. Wild as a herd. I've done many things I regret. But I thank God. In High Bank Jail in 1989, I met with a man called Jesus. God changed me. God transformed me. I've made many mistakes. I've let him down. But I want to tell you one thing this evening. He has never failed me. He has never failed me. And he goes one further. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the consummation, when the righteous step out of the ashes, Malachi 3. God bless you tonight. I want to pray with you as I come to the close of this service. Really, this little message was inspired to me as I read a wonderful book of David Greenall. And, you know, actually, David Greenall, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he dedicated me to the Lord as a little boy in 1968. And he held me in his arms and dedicated me to the Lord. And he spoke over me that the Lord would give me an evangelistic deliverance ministry. I believe it. Also, Pastor James McConnell, that has went on to be with the Lord, called me out of a massive audience and give me also a word from the Lord. I never asked anybody to do it. I would say it like this. I was only there when it happened. But I will say this. I have not been disobedient. I have not been disobedient to the calling. I have followed the Lord. And I want God to give me the grace I need to continue with him. There's nothing else worth living for, only Jesus. Bow with me this evening. If you have a need, put your hand forward to the camera. I'm going to pray with you tonight. And those, many of you weren't in at the start of the service, we prayed for little Ben Stevenson. He's going for a massive operation. He's only a little boy. We want God to touch him and bring him home well. Father, we bow before you in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no other name we want to hear more than your name. Your name is as ointment poured forth. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, because you first loved us. Father, we've made many mistakes. We've turned many a wrong corner. But we thank you. There's mercy with the Lord. Father, I pray for those hurting tonight, in need tonight. Oh, Lord, may they know the Holy Spirit near them. Touch them. Father, I pray thy blessing upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, touch your own people. Bless the people of Israel and the land of Israel. Bless those here in authority. Give them wisdom and guidance, for they need it. Lord, I pray for all our nurses and all our doctors. Lord, strengthen them. Bless them. Protect them. Lord, we see that people's trying to force things upon us, but your word told us it was going to happen. But we thank you tonight that you've said, that Psalmist David said, I was young, now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I believe that you can furnish a table in a wilderness because you are Almighty God. Lord, take us forward. Move us higher. Empty us of ourselves and fill us with the Holy Ghost. Pull down every barrier, every stronghold of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I lift before you again little Ben Stevenson. Father, will you touch him? Will you deliver him? Will you bring him home to his parents well? And may he recover and grow to know Christ as a Savior and healer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I ask for those that went through racial operations, different sisters. You know their names tonight. Father, touch them and strengthen them and bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. We're going to have a little song, and maybe we'll have number 27. He's changing me. Praise God. Praise God. He's changing me. Thank God. He's changing us.
He's changing.
Is he changing you? Do you believe he's changing you?
Thank you.
God. God bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. Tune in again Wednesday night, 7:30, as we look again at a wee word from heaven. God bless you all this evening.